Revenge that I found that I thought would be fun to share. From Alfred Hitchcock, revenge is sweet and not fattening. From Muhammad Ali, if you lose a big fight, it will worry you all your life. It will plague you until you get your revenge. And from Shakespeare, if you prick us, do we not bleed? If you tickle us, do we not laugh? If you poison us, do we not die? And if you wrong us, shall we not revenge? And finally, revenge is a dish best served cold. Now, no one really knows where this one comes from. Some people attribute it to The Godfather. I like to think of it as the quote from Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan. The desire for revenge is very deep-seated within humanity. We are a fallen people, and it is almost second nature to the sinner. If you wrong us, shall we not revenge? See, when we're wronged, we have this sense where there's like a cosmic scale out there, and when we are wrong, that scale has been unbalanced, and we need to make it right. We need to have some sense of justice. Recompense is the only way then to rebalance them. Revenge is the only way to make things right. It's part of our very nature. If you disagree with this, just observe children for a while, and you'll see how second nature revenge is. In fact, it's in their children's programs quite a bit. My girls like to watch a show called My Little Pony, and I'll be honest with you, I also enjoy watching My Little Pony. But almost every show has, just at the fringes of it, at the very least, the theme of revenge. It might be that Shutterfly was wronged by Rainbow Dash, or Rainbow Dash was wronged by Applejack, and yes, I do know their names. Princess Cadence might have been wronged by Princess Luna. You don't know how the story's going to go, but always at the fringes of it is this sense that things need to be brought to balance, and revenge is often the way that will work. Except for in My Little Ponies, because, as we know, friendship is magic. And so they always resolve things pretty well. But God knew from the very beginning that revenge and retaliation are just a part of who His people are. It's in our very hearts. And so He gave us His law. And really, if you think about it, almost every legal system out there throughout humanity, throughout every civilization, is designed in a way to help prevent revenge and retaliation. This is where we get these instructions. And this command that we read can be found in Exodus and Leviticus and Deuteronomy. It's what Jesus quotes from. And the full quote is this: if there is harm, then you shall pay life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. And God's intention with this is that there would be limitations upon a wrong done to another person, that everyone's social status, their race wouldn't come into account of it, that everyone is equal in the law's eyes, that there would be limitations on what kind of punishment would come along. But as humans do, we take a command and we twist it, we make it wrong, we do something with it. And so what people did with this command, eye for eye, is they took it to mean, well, I have license to search out revenge. This person did this to me, I have a right to go and get revenge upon them. They took my hand, I have a right to take theirs as well. Vengeance is my privilege. We do this because the commands of God cannot create what they command. In other words, think of this. You are commanded to love your neighbor. You are commanded to love God. But that command, as much as you try to be obedient to loving your neighbor, does not make you love your neighbor. It does not make you, it doesn't create you to have a love for that person. It just might make you work harder to not upset them. The law couldn't put a stopper in our own desire for retaliation. It couldn't change the heart. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth, doesn't change the heart of the person who has been wronged. But the law, these commands do something different for a person once Christ gets a hold of them. Once Christ works in the heart of a person, it changes things. This is why Jesus felt it was necessary to teach his followers, those who have committed themselves to him, on retaliation. And so Jesus begins, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth." And everyone listening to this would have heard Jesus and understood it because that is clear law. They know that command. Many of them have that and much more memorized. But then Jesus flips things around. "You've heard it said this, but I say to you, do not resist an evildoer. And if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. Give him that. If anyone wants to sue you and take your coat, give him your cloak as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go the second. Give to everyone who begs from you. Do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you." And as Jesus often does, he turns things on their head. Now, he doesn't do this for the government. He doesn't do it for the court of law. He does it for those who carry the name of Christ, which is you. Because you carry the name of Christ, you are commanded to do things differently than the rest of the world does it. And why? Why would we do this? Why would we yield? Why would we give? Why would we even possibly let ourselves be taken advantage of? St. Paul, in the book of Romans, gives us an answer. He says, "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." It's a totally different way of looking at things. Overcome evil with good. Jesus says you are to love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. We love our enemies and pray for them instead of seeking out revenge. We do this so that the good that lives in us through Jesus Christ, who has placed himself in us, given us his Holy Spirit, put his name upon you like a football jersey. His name is right on your back. We do this so that the evil of others might be overcome by the good of Christ. So what if by loving your neighbor, what if by loving your enemy, praying for those who persecute you, somehow cause them to seek out forgiveness? Somehow confuse them in such a way that they come to the Lord. Isn't that what God's command is about? What Christ wants in all his people? To bring others to him? To also carry his name? This is, after all, what Christ has done for us. Hear this again from Paul in Romans. "But God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. For if while we were enemies, if while you were an enemy of God, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more surely, having been reconciled, will we be saved by his life. You, at one time, were classified as an enemy of God. This isn't because you have set up your house to be some kind of castle and you had turrets out there and you were ready to shoot every Christian that walked by. It is simply by virtue of being disobedient to the Lord who laid out his law for us, who called you to be a certain way, and you in your sin, me in my sin, chose not to be. You at one time were an enemy of God, but instead of God looking down from the heavens and saying, I'm going to smite that enemy of mine, I'm going to exact revenge upon this one who disobeys me, instead of doing that, God sends his Son to serve you, to serve you forgiveness through his own death, a death you deserve, but he took upon himself, and serves you then through his body and his blood. As disciples of Christ, you walk in the way of Christ and not in this world, not of this world. Therefore, as people forgiven by him, you are called then to exercise forgiveness in humility and service upon those who have wronged you. Let us pray. O gracious Lord, we give you thanks and praise for the mercy you have given us, us who once were enemies of your way, people who walked contrary to your will. You have been merciful to us. And as you have been merciful to us, help us then to love those who have wronged us, those who might be deemed enemies of your church, persecutors of your people. Help us to love them and to pray for them, that they too might be reconciled to you through your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.